Welcome to this week's edition of The Focus. Wilson Tarpe Jr. here, joined by our guest, Mr. Evan Williams. How you doing, sir? This evening, sir?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you here. And again, folks, if you're watching, yes, it's a Saturday.
It is.
No, it's not something you need to get used to. No, you still need to, your regular programming is still tuning in on Tuesday for live streams, Friday for DCTV. That's what happens here. Octavia.
Yeah.
How's life? It's a Saturday.
And it's raining.
When I saw it was raining, I was just like, I know she's going to say something. So your initial thoughts about we're in studio no matter what the day is. And
I don't know what it is about the rain. It's just kind of crazy to me. But it is what it is. We're here. I'm happy to be in studio as always.
Very happy as well, man. We got a lot for you guys tonight. As we try to do when we have our guests is, you know, we've had a lot of special guests in the past. We're going to continue to have special guests. It's helped you guys to really truly understand what it is they do, how they make an impact on not only their industry, their world, and the people that they work with. Because a lot of times, like, a lot of people have an idea what people do when they hear a job. And you don't really get a true feeling of what they do because everybody doesn't get the platform that we have and the luxury of, you know, the network of people that know people to bring people our way, like Evan. So we're going to take our time today, have a great conversation with Evan. Cardell is not here. You do not see him in studio. Evan
is
sitting in his chair
today.
He's
on the road, y'all. He's in the gym.
Look, he's been in
he's
a couple
gym
gyms.
Rat.
He is a gym rat. And to do the stuff that he does, you got to be a gym rat.
Mm-hmm.
I was tickled this morning where I think he had an IG post this morning about he's trying to be like Wilson with a quick little post while walking up somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
I got you being funny, and that's cool. So I'm going to be like you with the rapid fire questions today.
Uh-oh.
And I look forward to it. I'm even going to try to get to, I'm going to do my best Cardell voice for the rapid fire. We're going to have some fun with this because why not? Thank you all for tuning in, whether it's on live stream, whether it's on Facebook Live, and then or DCTV, whichever way that it is that you're tuning in. We truly, truly appreciate each and every one of you. Also on the show, well, at least in a rapid fire, I would tell you, but that would be breaking tradition. So you're going to have to wait to the end of the show.
Just
know
I know no questions, guys. I have no idea what he's going
to
ask.
Cardell, I know you don't see this at the moment, but I told you we're going to hold what it is you do, and we're going to uphold those traditions. Nobody knows what we're talking about a rapid fire. I told them everything else about the show. Nothing about rapid fire.
Nothing.
So again, you guys don't leave. We can also have Rob Riley calling in for rapid fire.
Okay.
So we can have that third voice because I have to ask the questions because I got to be Cardell. Rob's going to call in and be Wilson, except he's going to have far different views than Wilson usually has. So we might have like three people agreeing for once because it hardly ever happens.
It happens sometimes.
I mean, rarely. Because of me, it rarely happens. So I'm going to proudly take, you know, credit for that.
Okay.
All right, but we're going to take a quick break. Please keep watching. If you are watching, you like what you see. If you normally tune in, buddy system. Like we always tell you guys, grab a
Bring
buddy.
A friend.
Somebody else. Y'all don't have to share the same device. I'm sure all of y'all have phones. You can both tune in. So get on Facebook, like the Focus page. After that, like Finders Magazine. And after that, like My Mama Sports. You know, we try to keep everything covered here, man. We got a lot going on. Got the Valor tonight. We got our guy Donnell out at that. So we'll have some stuff up tomorrow on My Mono Sports. Finest Magazine is a whole bunch of content he's already dropped from the Iverson event, the inaugural Iverson Round Ball Classic. So that's crazy. You saw the interview at the top of the show. Washington Mystics start training camp tomorrow.
Okay.
Media's not allowed tomorrow, but eventually we're going to have that stuff popping up on the site too. So for those of you who missed the draft stuff, get over there for that. Get over to Finest Mag for everything that's going on down in 757 this weekend. Got Cardell calling in a little bit later. Rob calling in. You're watching The Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Focus. Again, off-air conversation is always fun. We always come back. You know, the mics go hot and there's laughter.
There's a little bit of giggling.
A little bit of giggling sometimes. But Mr. Williams.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
No problem at all.
Get into this good old interview. But real quick, folks, going to give you guys a little bit of background on one Mr. Evan Williams. Right now, we got the graphic up. So you can tell, you can read that for us. Get on Instagram. Give him a follow, please. Wouldn't mind if you guys do that. It's definitely worth it. You're going to see some familiar people, depending on what, no matter the sport.
If you're alive, you're going to know who these people are.
If you casually watch sports, you might accidentally know some of these people. But from the south side of Chicago, Got a degree in exercise science from Eastern Illinois, certified through the NSCA. And as he explained to me before the show, that's kind of extra legit to let people know I'm super real.
Like the top of the top.
This is what I do. The top of the top. The best of the best, sir. You've been training over 5 years. Currently, you are a sports performance trainer for Under Armour, powered by FX Studios. All right, so that's a mouthful right there. Under Armour.
Yes.
Was that a goal of yours to get to working for Under Armour? Or how do you, you know, I understand you wanted to be a trainer.
Yeah.
But even then, okay, I guess my first question is, you're a former athlete.
Yes.
At what point does it pop in Evan's head that I want to become a trainer?
It's a long story. Mm-hmm. But
We got time.
So when I was coming up playing basketball, I was known as like one of the highest jumpers in Chicago as a sophomore in high school. I was getting like high major looks from like Illinois State, Northwestern. And unfortunately, during the AAU tournament, I tore my ACL. I think we played against the number one team in the nation. I think it was the Georgia Stars at the time. And tore my ACL. I had to sit out my junior year of high school. And then I ended up tearing it again. Then following season, leading up to my senior year, I tore it again.
Oh, my goodness.
Was this all the same leg?
Same, my jumping leg, my money leg, yeah. So that kind of devastated me. But it kind of gave me the passion to train. It basically gave me I went through tons of physical therapy, so I'm always training my body. And me building my body back up, like right now I can still jump. I can't jump how I used to, but I can jump. Like I can still dunk and everything. So that's a blessing. For knee surgery, still dunking. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people want to train with me back in the city, because like, oh, he used to jump real high. Like, I want to know what he used to do. And that me being in physical therapy, maybe, okay, I want to train guys to not be able to have to go through what I went through.
Right.
You know, as far as like prehab, you know, the process of injury prevention, you know. I didn't have that growing up. I didn't know what it was. You know, a lot of athletes don't. You know, a lot of athletes don't even know how to train as pros. So just giving them that knowledge, you know, and hopefully preventing them from going through what I had to go through with all those injuries.
All right. You mentioned what you had to go through. And a lot of athletes, we've heard them talk about how hard it is mentally to get through the rehab process. And for you to get through it four times.
Yeah.
And then to even come to – for you even to get to a place just not to hate it. Not only not, you know, that you didn't hate it, but – You found a passion out of it.
Absolutely.
So with you finding a passion out of it, what's the hardest thing? You know, you said you've trained, you know, on every level of athlete.
Yeah.
And again, we talk about levels all the time, and there's big gaping holes as you move up.
Yeah.
That chart, even from pro athletes to Olympic athletes, because everything gets a little bit more specific, a little bit more fine tuned. So for those who have heard that and don't really truly always really get that, and that's something you get to see.
Yeah.
What is that like, you know, mentally as a trainer, knowing, you know, I guess to be able to kind of dial down and dial it up as needed?
So, I mean, it depends on, like you said, the level, the time of season. You can't train the same. Basketball is like all year round. You know, you might get a month off if you're lucky. Like most high school guys, it's all year round. As soon as high school season is over, going straight to AAU. As soon as AAU over, summer league. As soon as summer league over, starting the season and practicing for the season. So it's all year round. So you might can't train them the same you can train for off season for a pro, because for a pro they might get like 1 or 2 months off, and then that 1 month can be recovering. 1 month can be like really really hard work, and then leading up to the season, you start to dial it down. Preseason training camp come in. So, you know, it just depends on the level. It depends on the time of the year.
All right. You talk about injury prevention. And the words you just heard used is very important that a lot of people ignore these days in recovery.
Yeah.
How important and vital is that for not only professional athletes, but for your everyday person as well?
It's almost more important than working out itself. Getting the proper rest, recovery, ice, stretching, foam rolling. It's a lot of methods, but you have to start recovering the body, because as you get older and your joints get older, everything starts to move slower. You know, recovery is slower. You know, you got some people that's in the NBA, they have access to the top of the top in the field, so they can recover faster. But the people that don't have access to it, you have to take it even more serious because, you know, most pros, you get injured once and you off the radar, you might not get another job overseas or whatever. So you definitely have to take care of your body is the best way you can. You know, gaining knowledge, working with the right people, you know, that's all important. That's the most important, you know.
Okay, so several times throughout Dwayne Wade's career, we've heard that, you know, he's flown the trainers in.
Yeah.
For him, sometimes we know the whole thing where he kind of barely gets through the regular season, but yeah, he is who he is every year. Come around this time,
yep,
as evidenced by the Bulls being up 2-1 to the Celtics, what nobody really saw. And whether or not, you know, some of y'all want to admit it, having that type of dude under that type of lights, like, mm-hmm, no matter what he's going through, usually he's who he is
right
this time of year. And if you could talk about, we've heard about it for some people who don't pay as much attention to Wade, or even like LeBron, for him to avoid those injuries for somebody his size, yeah, the physique, that the walking box of genetics that he is, mm-hmm, while that's great, there's a work ethic that goes into it. If you talk about prehab, mm-hmm, just if you could dive in that a little bit deeper, is how much work those guys have to put in just for that 48 minutes or that 50 minutes.
Like before the game, you could see like guys probably like stretching, getting stressed out for an hour, getting massaged, do a little workout. You know, before the game, it's almost more important than right before the shooting line or whatever. Like it's a regimen every single day, every single game. They have to prepare their body because, you know, 82 game season, you got the preseason, you got the 82 game season, and you got postseason, and you got traveling on top of that. So just, you know, massage therapy, the proper stretching, the proper icing, the proper heat. You know, you see guys, it might be a blowout game going on, and on the end of the bench, you might see LeBron with towels, or you might see him with ice packs on already before he even gets to the locker room. Mm-hmm. So they start that process immediately. You know, and that's very important. After the game, same thing. So it's key. You know, without that, they'll probably be getting hurt way more rapid pace. And you see guys are sitting down. That's kind of a issue with the league now. He's saying the season's already too strenuous. Mm-hmm. We need to start taking rest, you know. So that's how you see how much their body is getting banged up every single game. So it's very important. And even in the off season, prehab, just doing the proper corrective exercises, proper way to squat, hands, push, pull. Honestly, a lot of athletes become pros, don't even know how to squat properly. And they went through all through high school, mm-hmm, all through college, doing it incorrectly, which is an issue to me. But just knowing those basic things right can prevent injuries down the road, you know. And most athletes don't know how to do that.
Right, we talked before we got on air talking about cycles that athletes go through and how one cycle could really mess up someone's, you know, it can mess up your money at the end of the day sometimes. If you could just break down those cycles, why it's important, even from a trainer, how do you go about building those cycles, you know, for prospective clients across, you know, different sports?
So each season is different, you know. Each season that comes through, it's a different sport that's on. So you got baseball, basketball, football going on at different times of the year. I primarily work with basketball players, but I train other athletes as well. But with basketball, like I said before, like high school is different, college is different, pro is different. But with a pro, you know, they got that first month, they done with the season. You want to just, you know, slowly work them back into it. So you want them to recover from all the bangs and bruises from the season, get them to recover a little bit more, do some corrective exercises, you know, build their cardio up a little bit more. Then you move on to a more moderate pace of exercise, and then you don't want them to peak too early. So probably about midsummer, you kick up the intensity way higher, and then leading to the season, that's when you want them to peak to the top potential, because the body tends to plateau. Do the same thing too much, you're going to plateau. Your body's going to get to a certain level, and then you're going to, you know, flatline.
Right.
You know, so that's where you want to get them at right before the season starts. And it's all about doing the right things the right time. Anybody can go in the gym and kill somebody and make them tired, but are you doing something that's going to transition on the court? You know, that's how you want to train, you know. I can make anybody do 100 push-ups and they're going to get tired, but, you know.
I might not make it past 20.
I'll tell you right now, I can't do it. So, all right, so, and even then, I would venture to say that that would apply to the everyday person as well, because a lot of people wonder why, like, you know, New Year's resolutions, everybody go hit the gym, then, oh my goodness, it's not working anymore.
Right.
You know, as you said about the plateau and how important that is. So just to keep in mind, again, for us everyday people, that when you hit that point, you feel like it's not working anymore.
Yeah.
Flip the script.
Absolutely.
You know?
Just progression. It's a progression to everything. It's progression. It's different methods of training. It's different intensities. Just switching it up. So your body, anything you do consistently, your body's going to get used to it. So once your body gets used to it, you have to switch something up. Something has to change. You know, you can't do the same thing all year round and expect different results. It's not going to happen. You know, once your body peaks and hits that plateau, something has to change in your programming, you know. So what I would say to the general population is find a regimen, stick to it. You see your increases, you see your gains. Once you stop, look up another plan, follow that, you know, and just progress. You know, every movement has a progression. So that's the best way to go about it, you know.
All right. So going across your Instagram feed, seeing a lot of different people.
Yes.
So I mentioned to you this a little while ago so you could get to thinking about it. And you gave me a very quick answer. And I'm not surprised about who the answer was. But with all the athletes you've trained, obviously, again, there's a lot of Under Armour athletes.
Right.
Some people still kind of hesitant to realize that Under Armour is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And have a lot of, you know, important players
on
their roster. That being said, they need to train.
Exactly.
They're an Under Armour trainer.
Yeah.
When's that first moment when you're like, oh my goodness, this is officially real?
Well, first thing first, I got to thank my boss, Nate Costa, for the opportunity. When we had Cam Newton, and he brought basically the whole offensive, his whole offensive team for the summer. And we got to train those guys, develop a program for them. It was an honor, you know, just helping Nate train those guys. It was like a, you know, you can't get starstruck, but you get like a sense of, wow, I'm really training Cam Newton right now. Like, you know, so that was a good sense of accomplishment. You know, great guy, you know, great attitude, great work ethic, you know. And he's willing to get pushed. So that's one thing I respect about him. So, and he respects his trainers. So, yeah, that was the moment right there. When I
had to be crazy. Had to be crazy. Everybody has that moment. Like, I know I had that moment. I think I've had it like twice, like doing this whole media thing. I've had it twice when, like, you've had that moment. Just like, oh, my goodness. And, like, you try in your head. Like, I can't be like that. It's my job.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like.
Yeah.
Still, this is kind of a big deal, you know? So, I'm not surprised Cam Newton was a guy. All right, we've almost covered everything, but when you sent me your bio, the first thing that stuck out to me the most, mental toughness was one of the areas you mentioned in that you train.
Yeah.
Can you explain to people how to train mental toughness? The reason I'm bringing it up because Twitter sports, the great, wonderful place that it is. Mental toughness is often discussed, dissected, and just horrible discussions are had about it.
Yeah.
So as a trainer, that's something that's on your list of areas that you train and work with athletes.
Yeah.
How does one go about doing that?
So I got to give my uncle a lot of credit for that. He always told me and my younger brother were growing up playing basketball. He said the game is 90% mental, 10% physical. You know, you can push yourself. I mean, the body can be pushed a far long way than what most people think, you know. So it's a mental aspect to it. So say if I'm working with a client and I tell them to do 10 suicides. If I tell them to do 10 suicides, they might do 11 just because they know me as a trainer. They know I want them to push that extra, you know, get that extra energy out. So it's just pushing yourself past the norms. You know, if your coach tell you, look, I need you to go run this hill 5 times, you should want to do 10. You know, it's just pushing yourself past that limit and bringing past that mental barrier and that mental hurdle that most people have. You know, people do ultra marathons, people do all type of stuff. A normal person is like, I'm not doing that, but it's possible. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You see what I'm saying? It's possible. So just breaking, just being mentally tough takes you a long way in the sport, you know, in any sport, you know. And, you know, you might have a game go 5 overtimes, is your body going to be able to handle it? You know, so that's how you got to think about every single game. You want to be fresh when the fourth quarter hit. Just like IT, when he says it's time,
he's
fresh. He's still fresh. He's still ready to play fourth like he played the first. So that's how you got to look at it. You know, you want to be fresh the whole game and just want to push yourself through that training so you can get to that point.
So. All right. My final question for you, straight out the words of Cardell. That's how he usually ends everything. What's next for you? What do you have planned? I think that's right, right?
That
that's
is.
Right?
That is Cardell-like.
What's next? I just feel like I just want to keep just growing my brand and helping. You know, a lot of guys I help, and when I first started training, I was training for free. I help pros, that's overseas pros now, train. They didn't know how to train. I helped them, and I did it for free just because I want them to succeed. And, you know, we came from the same neighborhood. I'm like, you need me to train you? I got you. And I was willing to help them because everybody don't have access to this type of, you know, training. Yeah. So just willing to help, help people's dreams come true. I'm getting a self-gratification from doing what I'm doing, helping people, because I want to be a pro too. But when I went through what I went through, okay, I'm like, I got a different calling. Maybe I can help this, not helping someone else, and help them achieve their dream playing pro or, you know, whatever they want to accomplish. So that's my main thing, is helping more people, helping more athletes, spreading knowledge, and growing too. So, you know, a lot of trainers, they think they know it all. I'm going to be honest with you. I want all the knowledge. I want it from everybody. I want to learn from everyone. So, you know, just keep learning, keep growing. And expand also in the D.C. area as well, just helping guys out here. You know, it's a strong basketball culture, just like Chicago. You know, we got me and Pettis and Matt, we always get in discussions about who's better, D.C. or Chicago. So we might set up a game one day.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'll be in front row. Look,
so, be there.
I'm sure we don't have a choice, but, you know.
I'm pretty sure we don't either, Octavia. My last thing, what you just mentioned, talk about wanting to be able to help and giving back. A lot of people, especially young men that want to be athletes, and they all have that moment. Everybody, some people aren't as lucky or fortunate enough to get to live their dream out on that stage, because it's this thing called reality. It's hard to go from each level to level. So in that, you know, from that standpoint, I'm like a big advocate trying to let people know, you know, if you still have a passion for sports, there's other ways to be around the game that you love besides playing. As you said, somebody might have took your situation and tell you, like, I don't want to see sports anymore after one of those injuries, let alone four. Mm-hmm. You instead found your calling out of it.
Absolutely.
You know, I obviously knew when my time was up, coming up, I wasn't going to play whatever sport it is that I love.
Right.
It wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And I still want to be around it. It took me a while to figure out how to get back around it. Mm-hmm. But for those young men that might be watching, there's many ways to be around pro sports.
Absolutely.
You know, you might have the best seat in the house and not even think about it.
That's
true. I definitely get self-gratification from helping these guys. Just to see them grow and get better, it's satisfying for me. It's almost like I'm out there with them. It's almost like I'm playing and I'm not on the court. You know, I'm seeing, like, wow, this work is really helping them become a better athlete and a better person. So, mentally, too. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, Evan, thank you so much. But you're not going anywhere.
No.
We got rapid fire. We got Cardell calling in. So you're watching The Focus. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. But Evan, tell them where they can follow you on IG.
My IG, the Evo _ Lution. So THEEVO _ LUTION. Okay.
All right, guys. It's just that simple. I had a blast going through his IG, seeing a whole bunch of different workouts.
I'm definitely gonna. You're going to see a lot more footage coming this summer.
Like, we look forward to it, man.
A lot more. So way more than I've been posting.
Like, look, I can't wait. I'm already following, so I need you guys to do the same. I don't have it. I don't have to do anything, but hey, new post. You guys can do that too. Just go ahead and follow Evan. Also, follow us. Head over to Finest Mag right now. Head over to My Mind on Sports. More importantly, The Focus, like the page. We got Cardell coming up on the other side of this break. You're watching The Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Focus. I don't know why Octavia's over there doing, so I'm just going to blame her on that, because why not? That being said, what's going on, Cardell? Welcome to today's show.
What's going on? I see you clowning over there. I ain't paying attention.
Hey, look, man, I'm just paying homage to you not being here, man. We need your spirit to be here. whether you
hey man, it can only be
not.
One me. Just remember that.
So, oh, hey, look, I already know. Because you're down there and I'm here. So speaking of where you're at, what's life been like down in Southern Virginia, sir?
A lot of basketball. Probably a little bit too much basketball. I'm trying to see basketball as my damn dream. But it's been real good. Obviously it started with the Allen Iverson Round Ball Classic. It's inaugural Round Ball Classic, and I mean, it was just real low key, but it was great basketball. They made you feel at home, even though, you know, it was very limited media. Obviously, the first time around, guys, he knew. I don't know how I got the call, early, but I did. So, obviously, to come down, see a guy I looked up to a lot, you know, see him put on an event in his hometown. Some of the talent from around the country where we're going to be hearing them in their names in college and the NBA. You know, it was real good. Like Gary Trent was one of the coaches was there, Quade Green, T.J. Washington, both of them will be at Kentucky, you know, from our area. You know, Matt Coleman, he's going to Texas, D.J. Harvey, you know, from Matha, he's going to Notre Dame. You know, it was a real good show, real good show.
All right, so you called me while you were down there, man. Just what was it like, you know, AI that close, saw a couple great clips that you were sharing, him hitting some shots from Steph range. What's it like just to be around there? I just asked Evan, you know, that moment when you're around somebody, not that you're kind of starstruck, but it hits you like this is happening. Like, as a childhood, you know, hero or idol to many, one of the greatest to ever play in the NBA. And, you know, you got to see him, and you were telling me what it was like seeing him interact with the kids. If you just want to talk on that just a little bit.
I'm so used to seeing everybody just like now. You know, I'm at the EYBL, which I'll get into later, and I literally just saw Penny Hardaway go dab up Mitch Richmond and Patrick Ewing. So, like, I'm kind of used to it now. I've been doing it for a few years, but, you know, it was a little special seeing AR for the first time. One thing, he's shorter than what they listed him as usual. So, but it just makes it even more amazing what he accomplished. You know, he's literally like 5'10". And obviously, he wasn't the biggest guy, but that's why they say pound for pound, you know, he's the best player a lot of people have ever seen. Because he took on the Giants and succeeded, man. He's just a real cool, down-to-earth dude. You know, like, I know last night at the championship game, with All-American game, you know, he came in with his family, and some of the staff were kind of upset. And all the staff were people that helped raise him. Like, it wasn't like, you know, hire people from the area or whatever. It was people that helped raise him, like his football coach, his basketball coach, people that helped him out in the AAU when he played for Boo Williams, people from the Georgetown days, the 76ers days. It was all people that, you know, helped contribute to his success. They were working the event. And some of them were mad. You know, I know, I forgot her name, Miss Bailey, I think that's her name. She was actually the tutor that helped AI, you know, graduate high school when he first got out of jail to qualify for Georgetown. So, you know, she came up to us and told us, you know, about the hospitality room, but she was like, I don't know why he just came in here without security like that. I told him about that, but he came in, went right into the crowd. Man, saw his fine autographs for like 30 straight minutes, any and everybody with his family there. It was just, man, you know, a different aspect for him, man, you know, and that's why, you know, I had to post like that was a real one, because most, you know, guys at his stature, you can't touch him. You know, like, you can see him, but you can't touch him. So, you know, much respect to him for that.
All right. So, to kind of shift gears a little bit, that was a heck of an inaugural event. And, you know, you talk about why did you get that call, that nod to be in there. Your work speaks for itself, sir. So, you deserve that blessing.
Hey,
definitely deserve that.
Appreciate
but the EYBL, sir. The EYBL. You could have came back home, but the grind continues. How quickly did you have to transition over to the EYBL, and what's going on down there this week? We hear the buzzes going off, so we know you're missing some game action.
I think the first game started at 9:30 this morning, so I got here at 10. Been here ever since. You know, you got to get here early because for those that haven't been to Boo Williams, it's kind of like running shoes, 8-4, 4-4 with a track. You know, physical therapy room, but, you know, it's like twice the size overall than running shoes. So, you know, the parking, it's enough parking, but it's limited. And with all the traffic from teams from all over the country, including Canada, you know, their family members, media, all the coaches in the country from every level. I mean, you got to get here early or it's going to be hard to park. And pretty much what they tell you is when the parking lot's filled up, hey, man, you got to park across the beltway and then walk over. That's just how it goes. So, well, I made sure to get here early enough where I was lucky enough to find a parking space. I came in here. You know, I'm following the three local teams, Team Ella from up in Baltimore, Bull Williams from down this way in Virginia, and obviously the local team, the D.C. Team Takeover. And, you know, they got it in. Of course, there was a few standouts. You know, for Team Ella, I'm just going to throw out some names for y'all to keep an eye on throughout this, not just this summer, but definitely next season. From Team Ella, junior guard Brandon Adams, 6'4 guard out of Calvert Hall. He's actually the brother of Jalen Adams, who's the starting point guard for St. Bonaventure, who's testing NBA draft waters. He led the A-10 in scoring this year. He's real good. He has a chance to be even better than his brother. So that's, you know, I just told you what his brother accomplished. So that's saying a lot. Noah Larkey, if you're not familiar with him, he's one of the best point guards in the area. Hands down, he can do it all. True floor general, but he can score well. Saquil Harnett, you know, he led Perry Hall to the Maryland State Championship. So he here trying to, you know, improve his stock, so to speak. 6'8", versatile forward. You know, can do it all, bring the ball up, run a little point, post up, shoot the mid-range, athletic or dunk on you, loves to defend. You know, pretty much a coach's dream for a size. You know, for Bull Williams, it's Keldon Johnson out of Huntington Prep, 6'6 guard. Jason Seaway, another 6'5 guard at Trinity Festival. And a kid you need to really look out for, he's very special. He's just in the eighth grade. And for him to be playing on this level at this stage in the eighth grade says a lot about him. His name is Zion Harmon. He's a starting point guard for Boo Williams. He's just one of the rare breeds, man. He's a 5'10 point guard. Like I said, he's in the eighth grade. He's just a rare breed, man. So, you know, it's big things in store for him. And as the team takeover, Trey Woods, 6'2 guard, the St. John's, Brandon Slater. I always liked him. He plays for all the six on the top players in the area. Another athletic, versatile wing. And then Jalen Smith, the 6'10" out of Mount St. Joe's. He shined today, too, with his shot blocking defense. You know what I'm saying? And athleticism, finishing around the rim and whatnot. So those are the guys that impressed. But obviously, the performance of the day was from Trey Jones, who's the younger brother of Ty Jones, who played at Duke, who plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves, against Cal Supreme, who has Sharif O'Neal, who's Shaquille O'Neal's son, and 7'2 Bobo, who's Manute Bowles' son.
They on the same team.
He gave them 30 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. No turnovers, and, you know, they blew them out. So, yeah, everybody in the gym kind of shaking their head over that performance.
Hey, Cardell. Why is Shaq's son and Bowles' son on the same team?
Hey, man. You know how this works, man.
I know they caught the L. I'm just, you know, just.
Cheap.
You know. Thank you so much for calling in, sir. Please continue. I want everybody that's listening, go ahead, make sure you're following him at Finest Mag right now on IG. Get to the site. He's already started posting content. It's going to be a lot more great content going up. Obviously, follow us here on The Focus because he's posting on both accounts. He's doing a lot this weekend, man. Doing a lot, man.
Hey, man, I'm trying, man, but like you said, you got another big-time game coming up. Team Melo takes on TakeOver, so. I'm getting ready for that. So, you know, I have, you know, updates for that as well.
All right. Thank you so much, man. I'm happy that you and the fam have had a good time down in Southern Virginia this week. And we look forward to your return.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right, man. All right, everybody. It's Cardell calling in, man. So, again, we're busy. Mm-hmm. We try to tell you guys sometimes that, you know, we do more than just come in here once a week and talk. So Cardell's busy this week. I'm happy that he's having a good time down there. And we talk about all the time, just being able to find balance with being on the grind and taking a couple seconds to kind of relax, you know, with the fam and whatnot. Because it's a lot of work, man. Mm-hmm. Get burned out quick. Got to take a break. Got to find balance. You know, Evan's over here nodding off. Talking about work. People tired out here, man. People are working.
13-hour days every day, man.
People are working. We got Rob Riley calling in shortly. I'm going to see if this is, in fact, him. And then we're going to get on with this rapid fire thing.
Rapid fire.
That is not Rob. So I will tell Rob to call in right now. See, I had to text him, like, calling Rob. He's like, should I wait till Cardinals now? All right, so we got Rapid Fire coming on. It's a big week. And we're in the NBA playoffs.
That we are.
We got a local team in the playoffs.
We do.
I don't know how they're currently doing at the moment.
It's on commercials right now, but they were still down about 17 the last time I looked.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, it's part of playoffs. It happens. You know, that's usually
game of runs. It's a game of runs.
It's a game of runs, and also the playoffs don't start until, like, they usually say until one of the away teams win a game. Mm-hmm. That's usually when the series begins, if an away team does, in fact, get a chance to win a game. That being said, we got Rob calling in. So, Rob, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey.
Been a good show so far.
It has.
Been very well entertaining.
Yeah, Chicago is well represented on this show right here.
Yeah, I see that. Evan Williams, welcome to the show, my brother.
Yes, sir. It's good, man.
Southside, stand up.
We're, you know, we're outnumbered now.
Southside.
Oh, yes, y'all.
Hey, look, I'm always outnumbered. Every week I'm outnumbered. I forgot
you
what show.
You have Cardell, you know, me and him got the full Washington kind of like.
What show was it when Byron Westbrook came here?
Oh, yeah, you was real out.
I felt, I'm already know I'm the outsider despite being here. I felt like I was literally in Connecticut while in this room at the same time.
Yeah, because literally all of us from the same city in Maryland.
They were sitting there talking about childhood memories. I'm like, that's cool.
It's like that sometimes, man. When that connection's there, you got to make sure that you share with everybody else.
I was wishing I had a journal to like just doodle in while we're talking. That's low key why I have a journal now during the show, just so I can mess around and get through those tough moments. But our rapid fire segment, I got some questions for you guys. As always, the guest goes first, followed by Tavia, and then Rob. You get to share your thoughts at the end in this rapid fire segment. And shout out to Rodney again, outstanding engineer. Because I already know that that wonderful graphic up with the rapid fire in flames is up there, which I thoroughly enjoy. All right. Is it finally time to blow up the Clippers with Blake Griffin exiting another with a Clipper exiting another playoff series? Because he hasn't been the only one that's gotten hurt in the past. Evan?
I think they cursed.
Okay.
That's my answer. It's something every year with them, man. I've been rooting for them. They, yeah.
It's about
time,
that time.
It's time to blow it up. Doc come back to the Bulls. He come back to Chicago. That's what Doc needs to
do. You say like all the way up him too?
Send back Doc to Chicago.
Right, come back home.
Come back home.
Oh, wow. Octavia?
I agree, and it hurts me to say because every year, like, they're, like, my dark horse. Like, I just pull for them because I want them to, even though, like, deep down inside, I'm like, it's not going to happen. But it's like, you always got that one team, and I want them to so bad, you know, and it's every year, it's literally somebody's hurt at a pivotal point in the playoffs, whether it be Blake Griffin, whether it be Chris Paul, whether it be whoever else, and they have to depend on, and I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Raymond Felton anyway, but you got to rely on Raymond Felton now, you know. So it's a little bit rough. So, I mean, it's the same thing every year, and it's been like this for, at least the last three. So I do think it's about time that they blow it up and figure something else out, because it just shows that they have so many players that are so injury-prone that it's hard for them to have a core strong unit that they know is going to be there the entire time to build off of. So they may need to blow it up and start getting younger players that don't have issues with injuries, unfortunately.
Robert?
Yes.
That was the blow best answer. Blow it up.
Blow it up.
Just get the TNT out.
I was never really a real believer in that team anyway. They put Chris Paul on the wrong LA team to begin with. We're not going to talk about that, though. That's something completely different. But we all know how that worked out. And this is the end result. Blow it up. It's over. Chris Paul only got a couple more years left in the league anyway. A couple more good years. Maybe two at most. Good years. And that's it. Blake, I don't know what Blake is going to be. Blake can't, for some reason, can't stay healthy anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's always had an injury issue, but now it's been kind of, you know, following him the last couple years. So it's time to go ahead and blow it up and move on, man.
All right, another NBA playoff question. Are the Celtics officially back in the Bulls series, or was it just a game because the Bulls are kind of dealing with not having Mr. Rajon Rondo? Hey, look, I'm here to ask the questions. Yes, here we go. So we can keep the sighing.
I heard like five Chicago
sighs in 42 seconds.
Let me go first. So,
yes, Octavia, please.
I'm a little bit just skeptical both ways. You know, mm-hmm. like I always felt like with them being the number one seed, a lot of people are saying that they're the quote unquote worst number one seed there's been in a while. So I still feel like they still, of course, deserve the number one seed. And I do still feel like they have, you know, what it takes to do it if they need to. I think that this past game, I'm not sure if everybody heard, but apparently Kevin Garnett put together a video or whatever and sent it to Avery Bradley. And Bradley showed it to IT before the game, and IT wanted to show the entire team. So everybody was just, to me, I just think they all were just so pumped up and so hyped that they really wanted to go out there and perform well, which they did. I do think it is partially on the fact that Rajon Rondo is hurt, and he's kind of like their floor general, even though he's had issues, of course, because he's Rajon Rondo. But I'm still kind of, you know, on the fence to see. I would like to see how the second game goes. The fourth game goes as far as them being back in Boston. They're Chicago. It's backwards. To kind of see how it actually, you know, works out if they're able to carry over that momentum, quote unquote, that they have from the video. But I do still think it's up in the air. You know, I always thought that was going to be a tough a playoff matchup for them. Like we talked about last week, it's just a bad matchup for the Celtics. So. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but you never know what could happen. Okay, I digress. Now it's all the Chicago people.
Evan.
And go.
I mean, I'm predicting, at this point, I'm predicting seven games. Actually, this is my little brother's prediction, so I give him credit, because I thought the Celtics were going to sweep the Bulls, honestly. But the matchup difference is they're so small. The Celtics are so smaller than the Bulls. It's still up in the air, you know. Rajon Rondo being out, that's a hard hit, even though they decided to play him at the end of the season. He basically sat out the whole season, you know. They could have built that chemistry all the way leading up, but, you know, that doesn't matter right now. But we're going to see. They say out indefinitely. My prediction is seven.
Yeah, I think the last thing I heard they said was they will reevaluate him in 2 weeks and possibly.
Oh, well, I heard
2 weeks.
I heard
that's what I heard. But he said his finger was blue.
I heard something as quick as like 10 days.
Yeah, so that's why I said like 2 weeks. So, I heard they would like reevaluate him. But
I mean, the good thing is you got that, like, depending, like, with those that travel day sequence. Mm-hmm. Like, you saw how much KD got out of that quote-unquote travel day, where he might play tonight because of all that, you know, how long it took for them to magically get from California to Portland for NBA reasons and whatnot. Robert, your take.
So I had the Bulls in this series winning in seven to begin with, just because Boston they're small, and outside of Isaiah Thomas, they don't really have anyone else that I'm worried about. You know, they have a bunch of others, and that's including Al Horford. Wilson, you and I talked about this just the other day. I've been screaming this from the beginning of the series, even when the Bulls first made it in, and I realized who they had as their first round matchup, and I said, this team has been Jekyll and Hyde all year long, with every type of issue that you could possibly think of. And this whole time, what they needed was a floor general, which is Rajon Rondo. Mm-hmm. We do know Rajon has had his issues in the past with different teams, pretty much every team he's been on. And I thought they kind of carried over this year, but what I've come to find out that it was not him. He was not the issue. The issue all has to do with what's going on in the front office. And yes. Evan, you being from Chicago, I'm not sure how deep you are into.
He said yes. He's everything. Saying yes while you're talking.
I absolutely agree with the front office statement. Yes, I do.
Right. It's a major issue, but and that's what a big portion of the Bulls' problem is this season. But they were able to kind of get things together toward the end of the season, and they went on a run. They went on a really nice run, and then as soon as Rajon started talking trash and said they quit, Boston's done. They quit on themselves, and then he's out. Now his team has to carry that trash talking, you know, for him. They got to put that on their back and say, okay, well, you carried it, and now we got to finish it. But they have to rely on everybody else that's not a floor general. Jimmy Butler, he's not a floor general. He's a great player. He's not a floor general. We know that because they have not followed him at all this season. The Bulls didn't start playing well until Rajon went into the starting lineup. And now that he's out, this changes things. This changes things. Who's going to step up and take over their leadership role? I still think the Bulls can win in seven just based off of just being a bad matchup for Boston. Like, Boston is just way outmatched in this one. But that's if they play the series the right way. If they continue to play good basketball like they did the first two games. If they come out like they did yesterday, Boston's going to end up bringing the series back home in six games.
All right. This is fun. I don't have to talk. I just get to ask questions. This is awesome. We had Cardell text me, just hearing Cardell's text, all caps, Rondo man up. So, that's his take on this entire thing from Cardell. So just wanted to share that with the group. Another NBA question. Is this playoffs, I don't want to say the coming out party, because this guy's been in the league for a while and just for whatever reason people decide to act like he doesn't exist. But is this playoff, at least thus far through the first two games of that Atlanta-Washington series, do you guys maybe see this playoffs as being kind of like the start of Mr. John Wall's prime?
Can I start?
Yes, you can.
Look, I raised my hand. Y'all can't even see it. Okay. I'm so tired of people not realizing how good John Wall has been for so long. Only thing that's been holding John Wall back is the injuries. That's it. He's always been this kind of player. Yeah, his game developed a little bit more. So is it really his coming out party? I don't think so. I think people are just starting to really see this team play together because everybody's healthy now. Everybody's playing now. And so this is how good they could have been for the last couple years. You know, like John Wall, to me, is definitely one of the top. I don't know if I can put him in the top. Well, no, I'm going to say top five point guards in the league easily. Easily, because he can do just about everything on the floor. He's the East version of Russ. Simple as that. Coming out party? Nah, he's been here. That's just my take, though.
No problem. Like I said, it's fun because I get to keep my takes to myself. So, Evan.
Man, I absolutely agree with everything he just said. I've been a John Wall fan since he was in high school, mm-hmm. and I always seen his potential. Everything is just clicking now. Everybody's healthy. You know, got a good coach, good system. They run his system like a John Wall type offense, up and down. Everything should be on point. You know, I got them playing Cleveland, so.
I agree with everybody. I don't think this should be considered his coming out party. I think it would be to the people that don't pay attention in depth to how well he's been playing over the last couple of years. I think most of it is marred by the fact, like you said, injuries, and then not only injuries to him, but injuries to his teammates. You know, it's hard to be a top tier player all the time, you know, pulling all the weight by yourself all the time. So a lot of times when he's tried to pull the weight, sometimes it looks like his jump shot's not going in because he's shot a bunch of them because nobody else is doing anything. So I think this is the first year. Well, I won't say first year, maybe second year, because I feel like when they were in the playoffs, not last year, the year before, that they were okay then too. But I think this is the first time since then that they've all been clicking together at the same time. And I definitely think the addition of Scott Brooks has helped them a lot. Because if you say, you know, you look at it as him being the East Coast, Russ Westbrook, you know, Scott was with Russ for how long? You know, so why would you not think that that can't transpire into the same person, you know, the same situation as John is in currently? So, I mean, I definitely think that this shouldn't be considered his coming out party. I think it is to the people that don't pay attention enough.
Mm-hmm. Cardell, Wall been that dude. Look at the box score right now for the game playing now.
I mean, if you look at it now, like they're down by 21, but last time I looked, he had at least 27. Mm-hmm. Something like that. The last time I looked, I'm not 100% sure. I just got the game on my phone. I mean, they're down by 21 with two left in the third.
Well, I'm watching right now. What I can tell you is John Wall is playing good basketball defensively. They're kind of just letting Atlanta get into their spot, get into their sets, pick and rolls right to the basket. So it's not anything that he's doing.
Right.
They're having a bad game. It's what I'm seeing in this game, honestly, is the same thing I saw in that game last night with the Bulls and the Celtics, where the Celtics came out firing, hey, we got to go ahead and get this win right now. Mm-hmm. Atlanta feels the same way. We have to get this win right now. Because if you don't get that win, you know the series is over. Basically. It's going to be hard to come back from that 3-0 deficit. Like, that's tough to do. And what I'm seeing right now, physically watching this game right now, Atlanta's just coming out ready to play ball. That's it. And Washington wasn't ready.
All right. We had a couple other questions that already got taken care of with you guys' outstanding answers already. So I was going to ask about Blake and the Jazz being out, and y'all already killed that question. Was going to ask who had the best chance to beat the Cavs in the East. I think y'all already killed that question. John Wall, Washington. Oh, yeah. Is this the last we see of Mr. PG-13? Mr. It's everybody else's fault in a Pacers jersey. Mm-hmm. Evan?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with him, he just need a better system and better, you know, surrounding. They say, L.A.? Yeah, potentially.
I think that's where he's trying to go, least, maybe.
Going back to the crib. So, I mean, it might be a good refresher, you know, thing for him and reboot his career a little bit. He's an outstanding player, you know, works very hard. He's in the playoffs against a tough team. Last couple of games, well, the last game was heartbreaking for me to see him do all that work, and then he just LeBron became LeBron. So it was like, yeah, it's time for him to jump ship and get to a better program.
Robert.
Yeah, I saw that look in his eyes. That's the same look I saw in LeBron's eyes when he left Cleveland the first time, where it's like, all right, I'm tired. This is not working. You guys are very nice out here in Indiana. Your people are great. I need to win now. And it's not going to happen out there. Plus, I don't think that Paul George may be the man. I don't know if he's the number one guy. I don't know. Maybe it's the system and why I don't have that belief in him right now. But I just don't. I don't see it. Maybe he's a number two.
I tell you.
I agree. It may be time for him to go. I'm the same way. Like, I kind of seen it in his eyes. You know, I feel like when he comes out and he says, like, in the last seconds of the game, like, CJ, you're not supposed to be shooting. I'm supposed to be shooting. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, I feel like when you actually come out and say these things, that's like, you're tired. It's like, I'm tired of hiding it to everybody. I'm tired of, like, keeping my mouth closed about these certain things. Like, if we're going to try to win, like, you got to get me the ball. Like, for him to just come out and say that, you know, I feel like he's really tired of it, you know. I still think that part of it is that he needs more surrounding pieces to him as well. So that's why if he does go to LA, I'm wondering who else is going.
I think the fun thing, it'll be my one take for the night, is you got Magic over there, and I think that's
going to be. Okay, that's a good point.
I think low key, you had a lot of people issuing on the Magic going over there. Quietly, for all those people who don't kind of really understand that, Magic's probably going to be one of the few reasons that you can start to see people migrating back to LA on purpose, because no disrespect to any of those pieces that are there. Mm-hmm. Man, you get Paul George and just trade all them things away and start anew.
Yeah.
And go on with your life. You got it. Hopefully you end up with a top 10 pick, right? Maybe top 5 pick. You could trade for Paul George, keep it moving. And that's at least starting with one of the better players. And Cardale wants to chime in on what you said. He said, Rob, preach. PG-13 is a talented version of Scottie Pippen. He ain't the number one dude. Otherwise, he would have stopped the bleeding when LeBron sunned him.
That's a good point. I like the comparison, Cardale, my homie.
Look, it's my job to play messenger, man.
I like the comparison, too.
All right, so he is really Scottie-ish.
Yeah,
because, again,
I like the comparison.
You gave Bron a whole lot in that first half. And when he pushed back, there was no resistance from you. And your mom had, again, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. But I'm with you guys. My last question of the night, and this comes from Cardale. So I'm going to close my little journal because we don't need it right now. Forget the rest of my questions because y'all killed them already. Hey, look, man, I'm enjoying this thing. I don't have to talk that much here. I don't have to think about answers. I'm about to ask Cardale, can we flip every week? And I know you can hear me, so I can't. I'm waiting to see these three dots pop up so you can be like, yeah.
He'd be like, no. My segment.
Hey, and he also said to finish this off, all caps, Mr. Give me the ball. Well, you got the ball.
Right. You got it, and you did nothing.
And the last part is that, all caps as well. And Bron said, enough.
Finish him. Going in right now.
All
right.
He is.
I can see his face.
Right, I can hear his voice right now, because this would be one of the few moments where he's very animated. So I'm going to do my best to help this out. And notification came across the phone. Steve Kerr is out for tonight's game.
Saw that.
Had an illness. They didn't see whether KD's playing back. I guess it's a game time decision. But the last question of the night, folks, is about Mr. The super, super polarizing, Mr. Russell Westbrook. Because people love him, hate him, and the people on the fence still don't know which way they should fall off said fence. So, Cardale had this criticism he wanted me to ask the panel. Folks saying he doesn't pass enough. Cardale fouled that up by saying, who the hell is he going past to? Octavia, you first.
I saw one of my high school friends.
From Corey's?
Yeah.
I saw that post, too.
Post a very, very, very long.
Extremely long.
His feelings in regards to it. I think it's crazy. You know, like, first you say he doesn't pass enough. I mean, he's averaging a triple-double with assists, guys. So he is passing the ball. And don't get, like, let's be real. Yeah, he did still take more shots than everybody else on the team. But let's be real. who else is, you know, don't get me wrong, like, he has pieces. You got Oladipo, you know, you got some people there, but he's still the man there. So, of course, he's going to take more shots. He's supposed to take more shots. All of those shots he took is the reason why they're here now. So, to sit here and say that, you know, he shoots too much, I mean, this has been Russell ever since he's been here. He's never been something that he's not. He's done this the entire time. He doesn't care who he's playing with. He shot that much when KD played with him. So why do y'all expect him to change? If it's not broke, don't fix it. He's still – he's going to be y'all MVP. Like, let's be 100% real. Like, it is what it is. Like, the shots have to go up. Somebody has to score. So if he's the leader of the team, that's what he's going to do. But y'all acting like he don't pass at all? That's crazy.
Evan?
I love Russell Westbrook so much, man. Like, he's, man, I've never seen a player like him ever to have that much energy.
All the time, because I said he wasn't going to average a triple-double. I said, I was like, I mean, he could do it, but, like, does he have the stamina? And, I mean, he proved me wrong.
Yeah. I just feel like with him, man, it's tough because when you see him leave the game, I mean, he's putting his heart out there while he's playing, but when he leaves the game, just on the bench, the offense is so stagnant, it's like nobody wants to even shoot. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, what does that come from? He needs some type of help, some type of backup, especially from his bench. I really can't name many people on his bench that's really helped him at all. So you need a bench to be successful in the NBA, especially in the playoffs. He's going to be Russ. He's going to be Russ. You know, he has to take 50 shots because no one else is. So that's just how that's going to have to play out. You know, mm-hmm. He needs some help.
Before you go, Rob. Cardell added padding stats. You know, people saying he's padding stats. How the hell are you going to pad a triple-double with 15,000 question marks after? Yes, Evan?
You can pad rebounds if your bigs are willing to let them rebounds go for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good for the system because he can start the break. He can start
like
the offense.
Like you say, with a stagnant offense,
exactly.
Sometimes the best thing
exactly.
is to let him get it so you can push.
Exactly.
So, but that still doesn't – you can't pad the assist
true.
With pieces. So. Score.
His bigs do a great job running the lanes for them to find him. So that's for him to find them. So that's a good way to get assists.
All right, Rob.
Did he average a triple double?
Yeah, he averaged a triple double.
He did. I saw it.
Okay, I don't understand the question.
Thank you.
I mean, the man is passing the ball. He's passing the ball. Look, he don't have nobody on that team that's really like who's the number two guy.
They lost their number.
Look, guys, not that they lost. Look. Right now, who is their number two guy?
Look, man, Russell.
Exactly.
He's the number one and the number two.
The water boy.
Like I've been a big like
water boy. Like, water boy.
I've been on Russell a couple times. Like I think my thing is this team was set up for him and Kevin. Right? Kevin left. Somebody obviously it was piss poor planning in the front office and a lot of people. And I do think Sam Presti's very talented. He's got to escape so much for being the man in charge while losing these people, okay? And I don't understand how, you know, we talk about the Bulls front office, the other people's front office. You've been here the entire time, sir. You're the one that gave James an ultimatum, messed it up. You're the one that decided Ibaka was more important than the other dude running for MVP that you drafted. You're also at the helm when... You know, if you're in that building, if the Kevin Russ thing wasn't going to work, how do you not, you know, you talked about prehab earlier. How the hell do you not get ready for that? For just in case a rainy day. Like, maybe get something, like a world's ransom to get players that fit with Russ. And like you said, Russ is going to be Russ, not going to change. We look at the Scott Brooks system. First, we thought it was Scott Brooks. Some people thought it was Scott Brooks. Cardell was one of the first people to stand up and was like, nah, it ain't Scott. That's on Russ and Kev. Same system John Wall got. John going crazy in that system. He's a different type of point guard than Russ. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to knock Russ for what he's not. Russ is who he is. It's the end of the story, good or bad. That being said, got to look at the GM. You need to build a team around Russ, who Russ is, good or bad. Just like Kobe, it was hard to put pieces around Kobe sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to figure out a way to do that with Russ. Those type of players, like he's still very special. He's still really good. And I think he has a lot of good intentions. I just think he wants it so bad, and you're playing like there's a huge level of gaps, and I'm not trying to knock anybody else on his team, but there was a big gap level between him, like when him and Kev weren't on the team, and everybody else. Mm-hmm. There was a big old gap. Now you're looking at some of the teams you got to go through with like San Antonio. They at least got three guys within like the same realm, and then even their bench, they got bench guys as a unit that's on a different level than other people. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a bench, you got Golden State over there. I said at the beginning of the year, their bench was going to be fine. A lot of people talking crazy. Their bench this year is way better than last year.
Their bench is a starting five.
Mm-hmm. It's on another team.
It legitimately is. I don't know if they probably make the playoffs in the East with that their bench starting five. I'm not even trying to be funny.
No, that's real. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's fact.
And again, I just want to go back to, like, everyone's going at Russ, man. Sam Presti, like, what have you done, sir? You flipped a box and got nothing. Like you've been here this entire time. Like, I keep seeing all them pictures, like, I saw one this morning on Instagram.
I know what you're going to say.
When it was, like, people going to think, I think
Photoshop?
Chris Howard, right?
Yeah.
People going to think it's Photoshop. It was Kev, Russ, and James Harden walking out the huddle.
Like, kids growing up, like, kids in 10 years will think this was Photoshop. Like,
and I think it's hilarious. They probably might. But, again, everyone's going at Russ for what? For playing?
Trying to win?
Without him, you're not in the playoffs in the West with that talent. And that's the other thing is, I like Oladipo's game a lot. But just from a GM standpoint, it was always going to be like a high reward if those two worked out playing well together because of how Russ plays. Again, I feel like you didn't look at that the correct way, because if you look at how Russ plays, he needs nothing but shooters around him. Mm-hmm. Like a couple big, and even the bigs that he needs, it needs to be shooters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he can do what it is that he does. So that way, when he does kick it out, you need one rim runner, four and three shooters. However you get it, one rim runner, you keep Adams, and I love Cannon or whatever, your man is a defensive liability, get him out of there, go find shooters for him.
Stretch four.
Hey, exactly. Get you somebody who can do some good, you know, that adds value, so then you get a pick and pop person for Russ. So you can actually play a pick and roll that's not 15 people dive to the rim at the same time. Rim is congested and Russ just does some, you know, acrobatic trick to get a layup and gets a foul. So, I mean, like, he's working really, really hard, and again, I haven't been the biggest Russell Westbrook defender since he's been in the league, but y'all gotta chill, man. Like, this is crazy. Like,
how do y'all disrespect y'all MVP like that, man?
Man, how do you? Then it's like, then at the same time, I'll be the first person. What the hell was James Harden doing last night with that last shot? That's a horrible shot.
Right.
You get free throws when you wake up in the morning and have five trips to the line before you go to the bathroom, game on the line, and you want to shoot a three. Like, you, Steph, what are you doing? I go to the line. And the worst part was he had dude retreating so bad. Mm-hmm. Dude was already beat. I forgot who was on him, but dude, like, shaded him to the right. Adams was moving out the paint. You about to get to walk down Main Street and you jack up a three. So just like, you know, we can criticize Russ. That was Harden doing last night. That's some of y'all's MVP, right? Oh, all right, cool. I just checked. But Evan, want to thank you for calling
in.
Hey, Rob, thank you for calling in. Octavius, always thank you for being here. Cardell, I know you're listening somewhere. So thank you for calling in. And we want to thank you guys for watching. Man, it's like the Saturday thing is not normal again. Tuesday, Friday. Tuesday, Friday. Tuesday, Friday. Thank y'all so much for watching The Focus. We get at y'all next week. We truly appreciate it. Bye-bye.